The lights are on red. We're away.
POD, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. My name is Jim Race. This is episode number 192 on August 28th. I'm here with Jules Chisek, who is going to Indy, and I don't get to go. You're going to be there with a whole bunch of MotoGPOD friends, Liam, Scott, you know, Andrew, everybody that listens to us and people that we totally dig, and you're going to have a blast. And I'll be covering it as much as I can for Right On 2, and I'll be chilling out at the Ace.
You're coming down for the Ace?
I'm coming down for the Ace.
Sweet. Excellent.
Yeah, on Sunday. And so Ace Cafe in San Francisco, those of you that have never met me, you know, we'll have kind of a West Coast, you know, indie meet. You know, you're doing your meet, what, on noon on Saturday?
Noon on Saturday at the Yard of Bricks in front of the Pagoda. And also the time that MotoGP Matters, David Emmett, Scott Jones, and any readers of his blog are also going to be meeting. So we just decided to put them, you know, together. So we're all going to be meeting at the same time. So it's noon at the Yard of Bricks next to the Pagoda. Lots of cool people are going to be there. So definitely show up. We'd love to meet you all.
Yeah, and I left David out of that list of cast of characters, who's, you know, another one on our entire little weird little thing.
Yeah, I mean, I it's funny because I'm really looking forward to meeting him. It's early this year I met Jules Chermy, who, you know, started Right On 2. And we were kind of hanging out, and we really just got along so famously, and then we were like looking at each other like, this is weird, man. I mean, we've only actually like met in person an hour ago, but we seem to have known each other forever. It's the same thing with David, you know. It's a
pair of jewels. I can't even imagine that you guys got along that well.
It was great. Yeah, it was excellent. And then, you know, so I'm looking forward to meeting David. He's been you know, such a big part of the MotoGP sphere.
So yeah, no, have a blast. And last year with the entire hurricane thing, you know, it was still an absolute blast, and it should be a great race. And
yeah, and you know, I mean, I have to say that I doubt anything will top last year, both for the weather, for the fact that it was the first time they ran a motorcycle race at Indy in, you know, 99 years, all that kind of stuff. This is going to be just a race, although it does look like the weather is starting to get a little interesting. There's a forecast of rain. There's been some thunderstorms today. So we could get some interesting stuff going on.
There's people in the Midwest, you know, and you kind of hear this little tale all around the United States, or you hear it around the world, but, you know, it's like, if you don't like the weather now, wait 20 minutes. But it looks like Thursday and Friday are definitely, you know, kind of rainy-ish days, but Sunday seems to be maybe you know, and that's what we want. But what does that do? I mean, every time you have a Friday and Saturday that's wet, you can't get real good setup, and nobody got anything decent last year. I mean, you know, because the weather was so variable all weekend.
It didn't matter, because who the hell was going to take advantage of a good setting on Sunday that last year?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it was such a disaster in terms of the weather.
It really was. I mean, well, and plus it was like Friday was a rain soaked mess. Saturday was gorgeous, for most of the day. And then Sunday turned into like the seventh circle. And so, I mean,
I just hope that we get to see a 250 race. I still have not seen a 250 race, which is crazy.
You hope you get to see the 250 race, because, dude, it's the last one we're going to have here in the States. So
that's right. That's right. Then it's Moto2.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. So, fantastic. And jealous, happy. You have to make sure you call me and mock me just like I did.
I owe you big time. Believe me. It's in my notes. It's in my notes.
Mock Jim. Full notes, like call Jim right when the race starts.
Exactly.
So for the people that are wondering what we're referencing, I called Jules. So I went to Miller for World Superbike, and Jules didn't.
I wanted to, but I was unable to do the work.
can. but I called Jules right at the beginning of race one, I think it was, and just basically held the phone up. I hit his voicemail, and I held the phone up and just let it run.
Like 10 minutes. And I listened to the whole damn thing.
You probably saved it.
I have it saved, you bet.
Yeah. And it certainly wasn't out of, you know, spider anger or anything like that. I was just
sure, he was sharing.
I was.
Bastard.
So what's your big plans? You leave what time tomorrow?
It's early in the morning. I just giving myself enough time to go pick up my big ass lens and then getting up on the plane.
Are you getting a big lens?
Of course.
What are you doing?
The same as always. It's a 300mm f/2.8. You know, it weighs about 30 pounds.
Is the f/2.8 enough to get you what you need for the lights low?
You can't get anything faster.
Okay.
At that length.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I shot with last year in the rain, and it was incredible, you know.
Well, you did have an umbrella boy.
I did have an umbrella boy, and this year I will not, but I'm also much more prepared for wet this year. I've got special rain covers and all that kind of good stuff.
So yeah, it should be a great weekend. We've got a bunch of U.S. wildcards. Unfortunately, I don't have the list in front of me, but we've also got perhaps the most obscure replacement rider this year with I don't even know. Do you even know how to pronounce his name? I mean, I can do the last name is Spargaro, but the first, is it just Alex?
Or? Alex, I don't know.
Okay,
Alex, I don't know.
For Primac,
yeah. Somebody who can speak Spanish, I'm sure, can tell us how to pronounce his name.
And that really is kind of a weird pick, because he's not got – well, I thought that at first. I'm like, okay, really weird pick. But then I thought of the replacement riders that Pramac has had in the past, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's not that strange. They tend to go for – kind of some obscure and oddball Spanish writers as well.
And so, somebody who already is there. I mean, he's there for the 125s, right?
Yeah. But for replacements on the Premier class, I'm pretty sure that's all we got.
Right.
Well, of course, Calio on the Ducati. And certainly, you know, I was trying to kind of figure out my picks for this weekend. You know, of course, the top two are the top two that we, you know, desperately wanted to see last weekend, and we never quite got in the end, which is the, you know, the Fiat Yamaha squad. It will be interesting. But, you know, I really hope the weather stays good for Sunday. I really do.
Of course. And you know, I do. I can't stand that half and half shit. And I mean, so if it rains, let it rain. But I just, if it's going to be yet another, you know, flag to flag, switching bikes, that's going to, I don't know.
Well so you remember last year on Saturday, and watching some of the faster corners in the dry was outstanding.
Incredible, especially Nicky Hayden out in the in that back section, the last couple corners. Man, he was just smoking a tire up. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean, they're corners that, even on the 800s, encourage a fair amount of drifting and super, super lean angles.
Yeah.
And hopefully they've conquered some of the grip issues that they had there last year, because there were so many variable pavement.
That's right. Has there been changes to the track, like anything major?
I have not heard anything. I haven't heard any changes that they've made. And I tried to, because Kevin Schwantz had a track day there over last weekend, and I was trying to kind of drill through and get some information from those guys, and I never got a reply as to what people thought the setup was. You know, if it was better, worse, whatever. Well, I guess they wouldn't even know if it was better, because frankly, that was the first track that they've ever had there for motorcycles. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but because I know the actual track has not changed. The actual course hasn't changed.
No.
So the only thing that may have changed is there was basically half the track, from what I remember, was in the backfield was one type of surface, and then the other half was a different type of surface, and it caused some interesting problems for the suspension guys and for the obviously for the tires.
Yeah.
So
this year, and they had it last year because we had obviously a pair of brands, but unusually for Bridgestone this year, they are bringing out the asymmetrics. So because they've been kind of holding back from other tracks. And
so there's going to be asymmetric tires at Indy?
Absolutely.
Wow, nice.
Which is really weird if you think about it, because they don't have any experience there with
I know, well. Exactly. Yeah. That's very weird. Okay, cool.
So hopefully they'll bring in more than just two compounds.
They did some testing with it last year with tires.
All Michelin, wasn't it? That whole test Michelin?
No, because they had Pramac bikes there.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. We'll see. And you know, I spent a fair amount of time last year talking to the Dunlop guys.
I remember.
Just besides Jim Allen, but the guys that were actually running, you know, like the guys in the tire swapping area, because they were also running asymmetric tires there, which is fairly unusual for
the flat track, basically.
Yeah. And got kind of a good idea about what worked and what didn't there. It's really weird if you go talk to the Tiddler tire guys, because they're a whole different crew. 250s, 125s, a huge paddock area spread out, but very open if you can get in. So those of you that have paddock passes, you're golden, and you will, if you've never been to Indy, if you haven't gone to Indy before, man, you're going to have the best time you've ever had.
Yeah, aside from the paddock, just forget about the paddock. I mean, the whole place is an amazing place to see the races. But there's a very, very evil part of me that is hoping for some inclement weather, because it means that there'll be less crowds on some of the hills, because the hills are an incredible place to watch. But it's a very, very small and evil part of me, and I'm squashing it.
Well,
I would love to see the kind of crowds that we see at the Andretti Hairpin every year at Laguna Seca, where it's packed, and people are super happy, and the cheer goes up when the riders go down the hill and hit the first corner, when the race starts. I mean, that's the kind of thing I expect to see if the weather is good. The stands, people standing up doing. Screaming, and that's going to be awesome, because it really is an incredible place, and it's an incredible venue. Not crazy about the layout of the track,
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and it's impressive considering what it is contained within.
Right. Well, I have to say, like, Motegi did a much better job, because at least they've got some elevation changes. I mean, the only elevation change here is when you go up the banking a little bit.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, and they... But the difference being, so Motegi, right, it goes outside of the oval. They don't have that option at Indy. Everything's contained within.
That's true. But they had some hills inside. I mean, they could play the track around those hills.
Yeah, over the golf course. I think the thing that I'm most impressed, well, there's several about Indy, and is the people that live around there, because they support the circuit no matter what is racing. I remember seeing that last year, and I know that I've heard that the same thing is happening this year. They will buy a ticket, and their tickets are cheap if you look at compared to any other circuit or any other
race in the world.
And they will come on Sunday. They don't care what's racing, and I think that is so cool.
That is so cool, and then the vendors come out outside. Yeah. They're still hanging out outside the track. I mean, it really is a city. That part of the city really lives and breathes the racing. Whereas at Laguna Seca, the locals are actually like, "Oh God, another noisy weekend."
here they come again.
Yeah.
So I mean, hats off, Indy. I think you're doing a great job, and I know you've got this thing locked up for a bit, and I hope to see you next year.
So anyway,
let's talk about Lorenzo.
Let's talk about this Lorenzo thing. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm mad.
You're mad.
I'm mad.
You're mad because
I think he was trying to play people and it pisses me off.
Of course, he was trying to play some people. Well, Liam said a really, really smart thing which is that, you know, every team goes after every writer.
Well, yeah.
You know, at some point during the silly season. And so it's not surprising that they're talking. I think okay. it, I think that what's that?
But does every writer have to go after every team?
No, but here's the thing is I think Lorenzo knows that his value is very high.
True.
You could say he was using Ducati to up his contract with Yamaha, but I don't think so because Yamaha gave him an offer and they said here it is, it's here on the table, take it. But we're not going to negotiate anymore. Here's the thing, just sign up. We can negotiate around the smaller points and stuff like that. But I mean, I think he really wanted to look at the Ducati ride not as in terms of the offer that they were giving him, although I'm sure that was a huge part of anybody who'd be thinking like, you know, yeah. Well, I could pay double. You know, there's, you know, some morals do tend to, you know, shrivel under under such numbers. And well, it's not morals, but the thing is that you know, but he probably yeah, the values, right? He probably looked at what he'd be facing and what he has now, which what he has now is actually the best bike in the paddock and the almost a guarantee that it's going to remain an extremely competitive bike in the paddock.
You're not, you know, getting any argument from me. I mean, it's,
yeah, but so the thing is, like, you know, you look at it long term. I mean, are you going to take a chance to make, you know, some money over the next 2 years and be the number one rider? I think that being the number one rider was probably a bigger draw than the money because he's thinking long term. This guy,
absolutely. I think that was the number one thing. But it's not like his lack of being a number one rider in the Fiat Yamaha squad has hindered him, has it? I mean, well, maybe it has, and we don't know. But it just seemed
sometimes, you know, sometimes I think the riders want that not because they think they actually will get the control,
yeah,
but that they just want to feel. Like they are getting the absolute 100% best from the team.
Well,
whereas when you're not the number one guy,
yeah,
chances are you're not getting the best, right? And so this one thing that I think did get amended in the Fiat offer was that he's supposed to be getting exactly the same stuff as Rossi.
I don't know if I'd want that. I think I just want the stuff.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I mean, it's still his choice, right? But
yeah,
but I totally agree. I mean, I think that a lot of riders have been like worried. Like, I remember Edwards when he was talking about Rossi going to Bridgestones and the single tire rule specter coming up, and he was saying like, I don't want Rossi's tires.
I mean, Valley's always had, you know, a pretty hardcore inclination for a very, very stiff front end.
Yes.
Whereas Colin likes something a lot more compliant.
I mean, most of them are like that, actually.
But yeah, yeah. And, to me, it just seemed like much ado about nothing, and it created such a... It departed from a silly season into a stupid season because everybody seemed to be waiting, you know, hinged on what his decision was. And then you got the entire speculation about Stoner and all that. And yeah, I don't know. To me, it tipped it over into just annoying. I mean, and granted, you know, it's probably not his fault. I mean, Romanelli and certainly. Certainly Jorge has every reason to try and negotiate himself a better salary and whatnot, but I can only take so much silly, dude.
Yeah.
So what happens when, you know, he signed is that starts letting other pieces fall in place. And I think there's still a whole bunch of unanswered questions right now. But I think there's things that we understand more, and you know, people that we know won't be there or have a better idea about that and kind of ideas about where people go. I don't want to drag because we kind of went in this ad nauseum last week.
But I think the most important thing to think about, to just discuss before this weekend, is what is happening to the rest of the paddock as a result of this.
True.
Because we have basically, one thing that we absolutely have zero information about is whether Stoner is coming back or not. And and maybe that's a piece of information that Lorenzo did get during these deliberations. Maybe that he got a little more maybe Stoner is coming back.
And you're speculating again.
Of course I'm speculating. I've got nothing to go on, right? I'm just completely speculating.
And you may very well be right. I mean, I think it would be a piece of information that you would absolutely have to hinge a decision on. So, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't really think about that. What else we got to talk about?
Well, let's talk about. I want to go through every single existing writer and I want to hear what you think is going to happen to them. So we've got Valentino Rossi. What do you think is going to happen to him? Nothing.
Well,
he's going to win the championship.
Yeah, he's gold.
Jorge Lorenzo, sounds like he's signed for real. Somebody's screaming outside my window.
It was kind of cool.
Lorenzo is going to be on the Fiat Yamaha.
Lorenzo will be there as well. Did you happen to hear what the length of that deal was? Because I haven't heard it yet. Is it 1 year, 2 year?
I think it was mentioned, but I don't remember. I think it was only 1 year.
Okay. One year probably with an option.
Yeah, something like that.
His option.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so Pedrosa, staying?
Well, there is a little bit of crazy talk about him going to Ducati, talking to Ducati.
I refuse to believe that. I don't believe anything anymore.
Yep. But most likely, Pedrosa and Dovizioso are staying at Repsol Honda.
Suzuki.
Suzuki, we've got Bautista and Loris Caparossi.
Yep. And Cappy, I heard, was a 2-year deal, which shocked me a bit.
I know. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. But that's smart. I think he basically is saying, you take me for 1, you're going to take me for 2.
It's all about Gretchen, dude. And so moving on to satellite.
Well, hang on. So we're losing somebody in Suzuki. That means. So Vermeulen is somewhere in line for Tech 3. But it really sounds like he's going to go to World Superbikes, right?
And I wonder, yeah, you're right. And I wonder where he's going to go over there. But, it takes one domino to fall before another one can figure out where it's going to land. So,
yeah.
But certainly that's a wider field. And the weird, kind of the weird thing is that, who knows, World Superbike or Moto 2? I'd love to see some of the guys that are going to step out. Drop to Moto2 and kick ass.
Totally. Yeah, I keep forgetting that series is going to be gigantic.
Yeah.
It's going to give. I mean, there's no age limits in the 250s now, and there's no age limits for the Moto2 class. So we're going to see everything from 17-year-old guys to basically like in what we see in MotoGP and Superbikes. Just a full gamut of riders.
And probably hopefully the same insanity we get now with the World Supersport races, which are some of the most competitive on the planet.
Yeah.
So we covered Suzuki next, Tech 3.
So Tech 3. So we got Tech 3 and both of those riders are up in the air, although I think that Edwards is probably going to get another year.
Yeah, I think Colin's solid.
Whereas Toslin, not so much. I haven't heard, I thought that there was supposed to be a decision made already. But we haven't heard what that decision was.
Hervé has not been making happy.
No, that's the thing. He's already come out and said things that you wouldn't be saying about a writer you were going to keep.
Sure.
So I think Toslin is probably up in the air, and it might do him good to go back to World Superbikes.
I think that would be a solid spot for him. And frankly, we've already got a huge gamut of Brits over there. He would be one that would be welcomed back with open arms, and I think would be competitive right off the bat.
Agreed.
Depending on where he landed, of course.
Right.
there's a ton of great. It's kind of weird talking about the guys going back and forth, it's weird to try and switch gears and think about, okay, well, if you did that well over there, you know, but how would you do over there? But we, you know, we don't know any of it because we don't know where they're going to land.
Right. But, well, we're speculating here. Remember, we're speculating.
Very true. Grassini.
Right. So we got Grassini signed with Two Marcos. This interesting point that, we got an interesting email from Skylar Vicroy, who said, I'm just going to read what he says because it's very interesting. He says, several times this year in interviews with motorcycle personalities, whether it be former racers, current racers, commentators, etc., I keep hearing something that puzzles me. I keep hearing, I don't know if they want two Americans on that team or two Brits on that team. I use these examples because it is what I've heard the most. Why is it such a big deal that two people from the same country are on the same team? Is this some kind of motorcycle no-no? To not show favoritism. So it's an interesting thing. And then I was like, you know what? I can't actually think of any team that has the same two riders from the same nationality, right? And then of course he reminded me, well, there's going to be Grassini this year with the Italian Marcos. And I was like, yeah, that's actually very true. But seriously, like I was going back through history, and I can't remember the last time we had, even with all these Italian and Spanish teams, I can't remember the last time that the top class had a team with two riders from the same nationality.
I don't think it's intentional. I think it's something that just kind of happens.
Well, I think that there is a little bit.
Yeah.
That would make sense because you just want to cover as many fans as possible, you know.
That makes sense.
But I don't think it's like I think if you're going to get like two good riders, that's not going to stop you. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't have two Italians on the team.
But isn't San Carlo or is San Carlo an Italian or Spanish chip company?
San Carlo.
Yeah, so they've got a pair of Italians in a team with a Spanish potato chip company. Check that out. All right, but no, and in fact, that you make an excellent point. And if I had to drill back through my very mesh-filled memory, I can't remember one either.
Yeah, neither can I. Like, were Gardner and Doolin ever on the same team? They were both right for Rothmans at one point.
Wait. Yeah. Okay, I've got a team for you.
What?
It's kind of cheeseball one. Team KR. Yeah, the brothers.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Two Americans.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. Yeah. That's very recent.
Yeah. So we got Grassini. We've talked about
Tictois.
So I guess moving on down to
LCR. I think LCR. Randy continues to ride that bike. There is a small rumor that's growing about a second bike.
Do you not think that's going to go to Scott, the second bike?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is both those teams are making noise about getting a second bike.
Yeah.
And
you think they might both get one?
No, I don't think they're both going to get one. I think that Honda's going to give one more bike on the grid, possibly.
Yeah, the Hero, probably.
And yeah, exactly. And both those guys are going, well, it should come to me. I mean, you know, LCR has gotten pretty good results this year, so.
Yeah, and I mean, frankly, Checanello seems like he's got kind of a really new angle on keeping a team afloat and these
financially, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's willing to work a lot harder than a lot of people.
Yeah. And you know, Scott, the only reason they're frankly afloat is because of all the money, and you know, don't get me wrong, but all the money that Tomasi brought in,
right,
with his oil company sponsorship. So, you know, if I was Honda and I was looking at throwing another bike at him, I suppose I go to LCR. You know, they've run on the 250 side of things. They've run, you know,
championship winners.
Yeah. And so they had Laverty. They had
a Stoner.
And so there's no reason they can't, you know, put together. They probably got parts aplenty and extra toolboxes in the back of the truck. So that actually kind of does make sense, doesn't it?
But Hiroshi Oyama is currently with Scott. Yeah. And so, you know, and there already is a Scott team at MotoGP, so it'd be very, very simple in terms of the logistics to move him over to MotoGP as a Team Scott member.
Well, simple logistics, but those don't seem to always apply, and he was on a KTM, you know, prior, so.
Sure.
We'll see. You know, Liam didn't talk about it last week, but I know the Heroes, you know, 2009 season was kind of on a bit of a precipice at the end of the year.
And, 2008?
Well, no, this year.
Oh.
He wasn't signed. He didn't, his prospects weren't all
that. Oh, for MotoGP, you mean silly season wise, right.
For racing, period.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah. And so, you know, the fact that he got the ride that he got and he's been doing, you know, absolutely fantastic is a great piece of work and, you know, clearly a credit to his racing ability. And looking at his prospects for 2010, you know, it's like, whoa, nice work.
Yeah. So, like I said last time, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's got a great attitude towards racing, and he's a very, very hardcore racer, but very fair.
He's got a huge smile too. I mean, the guy loves what he's doing.
He does. Love to see that.
Yeah, not fake. I think it seems like a pretty good way to put it. So
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. So Team Scott, we know that Gabor is probably going to stay, even though his results are not getting that much better. He's getting points basically by people crashing in front.
Hey, well, when you have a reduced grid, it's amazing how many points you can.
Exactly.
It'd be nice if we had, you know, an extra bike on board next year, you know, make some people actually fight for the back of the grid.
Right.
You know, I think Tomasi makes a solid impact as far as,
I think he's a very important. I think he's extremely important to Dorna. I think he's extremely important to the sport to have him in the sport. And I think that he actually, I mean, he's a really good racer. He probably is having a little bit of trouble with the GP bike still, but there's no doubt that he's a very smart racer and he's a very smart guy in general. So,
I agree.
I totally see him keeping the ride.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Hiroshi Aoyama possibly coming on that team. That'd be cool. We actually did not talk about one other factor because we didn't talk about Ducati factory team.
Oh, true. Okay. We haven't talked about either of the Ducati teams.
Yeah. So let's finish that. Let's finish with those guys.
I guess it's kind of an important large scale deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we have any answers for, you know, besides speculation as to what's going to happen with Stoner.
Yeah. Let's do two things. Okay. One, imagine that Stoner doesn't come back.
Okay.
Right. And he retires. He basically decides he's not going to race anymore. He's won a championship, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's happy where he is right now, blah, blah, blah. Wants to race and get some kids going. So he doesn't come back.
Okay.
Then what happens to, you know, Nicky Hayden at this point is staying. Ducati, you know.
I think so. Although I haven't heard anything like totally firmish on that. Have you?
No, of course not. Because we hear the same stuff pretty much. But
okay.
but I think that at this point, now that Lorenzo is not going with Ducati, I think his spot is pretty safe. I think that Ducati would be pretty crazy to get rid of the, you know, one rider that actually does influence the sale of motorcycles in the United States.
I mean, it's number one market for Ducati, so.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a number one market for any motorcycle company, and you know, I don't think Edwards does anywhere near as good a job as Nicky Hayden does in terms of selling motorcycles, so.
Well, Yamaha is a lot more generic anyway.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Okay, so who gets that seat? I've got no friggin' idea.
So that's the thing, is, you know, we've got Kallio who took to the Ducati, I think, best out of any rider since the 800s on the first ride, but he hasn't really been exactly consistent.
Right.
And you know, are there any riders that are suddenly going to appear from the 250s and get a ride on the factory Ducati? Probably not.
No, and I can't see them bringing up, you know, so they've got nobody else in Superbike either that's a shining star. You know, Fabrizio is like a guttering candle that can occasionally, you know, flame into being, but he certainly didn't shine, you know, at the last race.
And well, he was ahead of Gabor.
he was until his fitness proved him out.
Right.
His injuries from his Friday crash.
So here's the rider that I think might fit the bill. Tony Elias.
Dude.
I know. It's weird, but Tony Elias has gotten two podiums on a Desmos Adici on a satellite team last year. And so he has some experience. He's available. He's very available. And he has won races in the GPs, and he's been on the podium again this year. Certainly a better prospect than, you know, moving Canepa up. There's no way Canepa's coming up. In fact, it's going to be interesting if Canepa even gets his ride. Yeah.
You know, I think my opinion about Tony, I've made it clear in the past, is that, and I guess the short answer is that I don't think he has the right fire to run at the front all the time.
Yeah, I know, I agree, but at the same time, I've seen him glued to the TV set when he's watching every single possible race. I mean, the guy lives and breathes racing, so he's not...
So do we.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, you know what? I'll take that ride.
Well, yeah, and so will I, and I've actually... There's not a lot of options, are there?
There really isn't. I mean, there's tons of options, but none of them seem like a perfect fit. I mean, I think Tony Elias is a viable option. I think Chris Vermeulen is a decent option.
How about De Angelis?
I think De Angelis is a good option. We forgot to talk about him. He's most likely not going to have a ride.
Right.
He's a good option. We don't know that much about
I've got one for you.
Yeah?
Hmm.
Spit it out.
Thought. Depugne.
Well, Depugne is staying with LCR.
But if he wasn't?
Interesting idea. I don't know why they would take him over somebody like Elias, who's proven himself on the...
French guy on an Italian bike is just like oil and water, but... or oil and vinegar.
Come on. Sylvain Guintoli was on it.
True. Hey, you know what?
I know. I was just going to say, Sylvain Guintoli.
There is no reason, if he is healthy and he's racing this weekend at Cadwell Park, which is nuts. He's coming back from his broken leg, racing BSB at Cadwell, and Cadwell is probably the most frightening track that BSB has in their series. Dude's a rock star. I'm serious.
So he's a good possibility. He's a good possibility.
He's certainly not going to step into the number one slot at Factor Corsa, but...
But he could replace somebody at Pramac.
He could.
Then gets balanced, you know. I mean, I still find it hard to believe that somebody like Kallio would get a factory ride at this point.
True. Well, so all of this talk that we're doing, which is very entertaining, is under the assumption that Stoner won't be back.
Let's go to the other scenario, which is where Stoner does come back.
Right. So Stoner and Hayden.
It's a lot simpler.
It really is. Yeah. And we'll get way less hate mail. or amused mail. And so who does that leave? Primac?
Yeah, that leaves just Primac. Well, I mean we've got Aspar, but he's already got Hector Barbera.
Right. So we've got Primac, Kallio either there or not, but he's definitely going to stay within the MotoGP ranks. And Canepa is kind of iffy.
Canepa's iffy. What was his best finish this year? I think it was like a 10th or a 9th, maybe even.
He got a 9th or an 8th, and it was.
But that was like Dunnington.
Yeah, it was attrition. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not like he's sucked, but he's been.
He was almost laughed at Laguna Seca.
Right. But I mean, you know, he is the lowest rung on the ladder at this point. And he's done what he can do. He's the youngest guy in the paddock, or the youngest guy in the GP squads. And, he hasn't sucked. He hasn't been crashing the bike out all over the place. And he got
That's true.
From Nicky Hayden and Saxon Ring, still race the next day. So, fair credit. Maybe he's not, he'd be a great prospect if he lost a little bit of weight on the Moto 2 bikes.
Another guy like that on Moto 2, but who's, it's another spot. Yeah, again, Elias is a good choice. DeAnn is a good choice.
And I wouldn't be, that is where if I had to say where Tony's going to land, I think that's where he's going to land is back on the Pramac squad, but probably with a different set of definitions about what he can and can't do. And it's certainly going to be a different team because it was a Dantin team when he was there last year. And it's, it's basically a factory Corsa number two team now.
Right. Which is actually another interesting thing is they seem to be treating a team as a, let's get some young blood in here. And Tony Elias, is not young blood anymore.
Yeah. But he's also, he's one of those, right? Somebody posted this the other day and I thought it was brilliant. They're like, it doesn't seem like he rides really fast unless he's hungry. And I thought that was like a perfect definition of the way that the guy races.
Actually, that was what Liam said last week during the show.
You said that as well? Okay. And I think that's, if I don't think he was entirely happy with what was going on with Pramac last year because it was a bit of a boondoggle, as we've kind of heard word of. But maybe with the stability that they have now, and the more steady and uplifting results that somebody like Kallio has had, that Elias can do the same thing and rebuild his
stock.
Yeah, I mean, he's had flashes of brilliance this year, but flashes aren't going to get the job done in the end. I can't render a valid opinion on him because he doesn't give me enough data.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty much the randomizer.
Yeah.
What about Toseland?
I don't know. Where's James going to go?
I mean, what about Toseland on the Pramac?
Oh, wow. Wow. Huh. Interesting. Didn't he win a title on the Ducati? He did, in World
Cup. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. I wonder how their relationship was. Well, he left Ducati and he won his last title on Hunter, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder
now if... Now he's riding Yamaha, so I don't think it matters.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't have a whole lot of brand loyalty there. That he's going to need a parachute somewhere.
Yep.
And it's not like the guy sucks as a motorcycle racer. He's a great racer. He's proved that. And frankly, it's important for Dorna to keep a Brit in the series. So I don't.
That's why I brought him up.
Yeah, interesting thought.
But again, he's not what the junior team would really, he wouldn't really fit the junior team charter if there is one, which is kind of rumored that there is.
True.
True. So, I mean, there are other guys in the 250s that could be coming up to race. So, we don't know. We don't know. Pacini, there was some talk about him riding a Ducati.
I've heard Tots is like really hurting now.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, and Pacini is great. Writer, very adaptive writer. I mean, he's put up with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And so it could be somebody like that. A lot of these guys that have been, Tosley hasn't been in that long. I mean, this is only his third season. But
well, you could say the same thing about a couple other guys.
Well, that's the thing is, there's a couple guys who've been around forever.
Yeah.
Wait, this is Tosley's only second year. Yeah, because he won the championship in 2007.
Yeah, we were talking last week. It was like the two standouts in Qatar last year were
yeah.
Toseland and Lorenzo, and they've gone in
opposite directions. Yeah. So yeah, so I mean, I think that Vermeulen's done. I think we're not going to see Vermeulen in MotoGP.
I don't see a landing zone for him next year.
And I think Tozen may be in the same boat, so we'll see. But yeah, because I really do think that we're going to see one more rider from the 250s towards the end of this season get swept up into one of these kind of unknown seats.
And frankly, there's no real good reason why they shouldn't stick around the paddock. I mean, these are solid guys that, and to be even more frank, I think probably Suzuki has done more to undo some riders' careers, like Vermeulen, who is, you know, a solid rider, than with their development schedule. And I don't want to blame it all on Chris. You know what I mean? I mean, but
I also think that we've seen much more consistency from Loris on the same bike.
Sure, and
there is a seat left on Tech 3 because we really don't know who that second seat's going to go to. Assuming Edwards stays, because Edwards could leave too.
I don't think Alan's going to leave unless he wants to leave.
I think you're right. I think you're right, and I think that 99% odds that that he's going to stay at Tech 3. They have a great relationship, him and Herv, and everybody likes Colin Edwards. Let's just face it. You know, he doesn't have to have the greatest results in the world, and he still gets a ride.
Well, he's super important to Yamaha. I mean, yeah. He has this. And people kind of poo-poo it, but apparently, and he has this, he's probably one of the best bike developers that they have in the paddock. And everybody in the past kind of said that it was just about the tires. You know, he was like the dude for Michelin.
You can tell that he is simply by the way he describes. I mean, granted, a lot of times it's he's talking about problems with the bike, but he's think about like when somebody like Chris Vermeulen talks about his problems with the bike on those YouTube videos that he does. He either really dumbs it down for the common man, or you have no idea what the hell he's talking about. Whereas whereas Colin Edwards could just say stuff and he's clear. He's very clear, and that's, I think, you don't have to be an engineer, but if you can communicate to your engineers exactly what's going on the motorcycle, then you're a great developer rider, and I think that's what his skill is. I think he is fantastic at, I mean, he's just a good speaker all around. He says what he means right away. You know, I mean, yeah, on the funny side too. But I'm saying that he probably gets off his bike, goes to his guys, and tells them, and they're like, "Got it, okay,
yeah,
we need to do this, 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 and this."
Well, figuring out how to present feedback from the machine that you're riding at 10/10 is incredibly hard. You know, I mean, I've tried to do it on a machine that I'm only capable of riding at, like, you know, 9/10 on a racetrack. Mm-hmm. And just trying to describe what something's doing, because you're
No, that's my whole point. I've been listening to these riders talking for years.
Exactly.
And there's very few that say something that I go, yeah. Okay. In one sentence, he described exactly what's going on, and I got it. And if I can get it, an engineer can surely get it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think Rossi's one of those guys. I think Stoner is one of those guys. And definitely Colin Edwards is one of those guys.
Absolutely. And so I see no reason why, as long as he keeps maintaining, you know, in the top five results, unless there's somebody that can come along that's an absolute phenom for the satellite Yamaha squad, that he's going to be moving on, as long as he wants to stay.
Which is cool. Which is very cool.
And frankly, having him in the paddock is a breath of fresh air. The guy's funny as hell.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've beaten this topic to death, but he definitely, that kind of thing sells the series, you know.
Absolutely.
Having color. like that.
Yep.
So I think we got them all. I'm sure we're going to be totally surprised by at least one seat. You know, we've been calling, you know, for various writers to come into the series and or be leaving the series, and there's probably somebody that we haven't even thought about that might appear.
I think we might see some surprises this year. You know, and it's a lot too early to guess, but coming, you know, we've still got kind of no idea what Spies is going to do because a lot of that, frankly, hinges on if he wins or not this year.
Right. He's probably going to want to stay and win next year if he does not win this year.
And so,
or go on a winning spree. I mean, you know,
he could. You know, he could. And you know, he's certainly a sharp cat, and a pair of Texans in the same team wouldn't be, you know, anything that the media wouldn't like gobble up immediately. Ooh, and certainly Dorn, obviously, in the same vein.
Yeah.
And
Skyler.
We don't know that yet, and I think, you know, we're, the silly season is gonna chill out a little bit, and I think we'll get some ideas as things go along.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because I meant to say that you know, Spies is another big question mark.
Sure.
Because he's very hot property, and a lot of the teams would just grab him up. And there has been, because all riders talk to all teams, there has been contact between him and Ducati, the factory Ducati team as well. Great. Let's wrap it up. Anything else that's coming up?
Let's just reiterate your meetup, because last chance you have is on noon on Saturday behind the pagoda on the infield on the Yard of Bricks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Cool. And that's right on 2 MotoGP OD, MotoGP Matters, and anybody else that happens to hear this podcast.
Yep. Yeah, please show up, say hello. We'll take a group picture together, and then we'll go off and opposite directions or something. We'll make friends. One last thing is we would like to wish David Emmett a happy birthday. It's his birthday yesterday as you're listening to the show.
Happy birthday, David.
He's spending it in Indy.
How old is he, do you know?
I think he's like 80-something. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. Well, sorry you're not going to be there, Jim. We had a great time last year, and it would be cool. But we'll do it again. We'll do it next year, and we'll speak with you next week. Cool. Everybody out there, you know, bring some rain gear if you're going to Indy.
You know, that's kind of the bonus about that place is, like, you know, once it stops raining, you're, like, dry pretty quick. So
yeah, especially when you're staying near one of those jet-blowing trucks or whatever. All right, great. So thanks very much, Jim, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon, man.
Ciao.
Bye.